The Holy Spirit each and every service, don't we? Because we know that it takes the Holy Ghost to make the service what it ought to be. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? How many of you enjoyed the service here over the weekend? Wasn't the word of the Lord tremendous? Oh, isn't God so good to us? Praise the Lord. Tonight's Wednesday night. We're looking forward to what God will have for us again tonight, this service. Different setting, different circumstances, but we're all can agree on one thing. We need His mercy. We need His grace. We need His touch in our life, don't we? Amen. Let's look at our prayer request tonight just before we pray. Let's look at these things. Scott Hickson wants us to remember his grandmother. She's in the hospital with heart trouble, so let's remember that need tonight. Sister Claire Davis says to remember her niece, Lane Britt, been in the intensive care unit, at the medical center with a brain hemorrhage since this past Monday. She really needs your prayer. She's a young mother with three boys, age 5 years old, 2 years old, and one only 1 week old. Also pray for my sister Shirley, who is now caring for the children, for strength and guidance. Remember this family. They have confidence in our prayer, so we certainly remember that need tonight as we pray. Brother Zach Holmquist sends this in to please pray for the family of Obadiah White, the young man that he requested prayer for this past Sunday. He passed away this morning, so we certainly want to pray for that family, that the Lord would be with them. And then, as many of you probably know, Sister Helen Littleton passed away, I guess it was maybe yesterday afternoon, something, sometime yesterday. Her service will be on Thursday. That's tomorrow night, October the 18th, at the Tetrick Funeral Home in Johnson City. The family will receive friends from 5 until 7. Brother Donnie is going to be conducting the service immediately after visitation at 7 o'clock. Graveside services will be on Friday, October the 19th at 11 a.m. at the Oak Hill Baptist Church Cemetery in Jonesboro. And they're requested that we would keep this family in prayer, that God would just gird them with His love. And as we greet them and see them at the service, we just want to let them know that we care about them. We love them. We've been praying for them. And I know this has been hard on them, her sickness. But you know what? Sister Helen was a true, true saint of God. I believe that with all of my heart. And well, we just rejoice with her. Final destination has been set for her. Thank God for that. Aren't you glad to be a Christian tonight? Do you love the Lord with all your heart? Let's sing that chorus one more time just before we pray. If you have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about tonight, how many of you believe God can take care of whatever your situation is? Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome. Oh, Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, oh, Thou art welcome in this place. Can you see it once again? Oh, Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome. Thou art welcome. Somebody say praise the Lord. Brother Bert, would you come tonight? Take us to the Lord. Let's invite His presence into this service tonight. Commit these things into the hand of the Lord. We know He's more than able to meet these needs tonight. Brother Bert, God bless you.
Father, Lord, we do want you to be so welcome tonight, Lord. And Father, just thinking about the things that we're hearing, Lord, we know you're not wasting these words, and you're not out at the wrong season or time or anything. We know we're getting ready to depart, Lord, from here. And we just want to overcome and manifest everything you've called us to, Father. Part of it would be tonight as a body of believers, a portion of your children, Lord. We're gathered in one accord, believing for every one of these needs, Lord, that you had made provision before the world, Lord. And that we're believing a perfect atonement is waiting, Lord, and portion of it tonight to be released to every one of these needs, Father. They called out in faith, and they took time to write in or call in. Each of us knows what it's like, Lord, when we're desperate, Lord, to have your word be made manifest, and we'll reach out and contact each other for prayer, and we'll send in our request. And Father, we just thank you that we hear the testimonies come back, Lord, that your word is true every time. And we're believing again tonight for each of these, and also for your presence, Lord, to come into this service as you've been doing, Lord, and just feed us one more time, Father, and not just to sit around and get spiritually fat, Lord, but that we can go out and manifest it here in the highways and byways on this final mile, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name we believe you. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Bert. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come tonight, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming the service tonight, may God richly bless our brothers and sisters around the world as they stream the service. Now, an announcement for you tonight, Brother Brandon Green has got some CDs. They're available over in the library. There's a couple of them over there if you'd like to pick one up after service tonight. I know it'll be a tremendous blessing to you. Brother Brandon is a tremendous blessing to us here at the church, isn't he? So if you'd like to pick up one of those CDs, he has those. Brother Jimmy and the staff over there have those available for you. Let's sing a song tonight. Sometimes it's hallelujah. Sometimes it's praise the Lord. Sometimes it's crying time. Sometimes it's running time. Whatever the Lord wants us to do, we want to be willing to do it, don't we? Sometimes hallelujah, sometimes praise the Lord, sometimes gently singing, our hearts in one accord. It's praise the
praise you, Lord.
Sometimes gently singing, our hearts in one accord.
Oh, let us lift
our voices
up to the sky and start to sing.
See you.
us know His presence. That sound of praises fill the air. Oh, let us sing of Jesus' love.
Rain down. Let's sing that little chorus just before we change the order of the service tonight. Holy Spirit, rain down. May it rain on us tonight, church. Amen. If you're going through a dry, dusty time of your life, no better place in the world to get a good refreshing than right here tonight. You believe that with all your heart. Give the Lord another big hand clap of praise. You love Him with all your heart. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. You alone are worthy, our Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing this chorus tonight. This is a late prayer request that came in. I want to pray for Lena Jones' daughter, Linda. She's in labor now and having complications. Pray that everything will be all right, her and the child. May God bless them and help them tonight. Holy Spirit, rain down. Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. Oh, yes, Lord.
Yeah.
happen. God just soon bless you tonight as He would Sunday. He just soon do something for you tonight as He would Sunday. It's Wednesday, but it's still God's day. Amen. Hallelujah. Let it rain. Oh, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Oh, let it rain.
Open the floodgates of heaven.
Do it, Lord. We need you so much.
Let it rain.
Yes, open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain
in my soul.
Heavenly Father, let it rain.
Open the floodgates of heaven.
Let it rain
tonight, Lord. Let it rain.
Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you tonight. You can be seated. God bless you. Brother Charlie, God bless you. So good to see you and Sister Chevy. I wish we had 85 Charlies here. We'd work it out some way. We could handle them, I guarantee it. We appreciate Brother Charlie. He's always got a spring in his step. How old are you now, Brother Charlie? 90 years old yesterday. That's great. Praise the Lord. Well, God is just good to us. He's just so good to us. May God bless you tonight. Brother Jackie Benton is here. Is he here? Did I see him come in? Brother Jackie has a song tonight. If you'll come and get ready to sing for us. If you don't have anything else, you've got to do our favorite. If you don't have anything else on your heart. I never seen him what he didn't have a song on his heart. Give him a hand as he comes tonight. We love you, buddy. How old are you now? Brother Jackie, 78 years young. Still going strong for the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. Love you, buddy.
The Lord is good, isn't he? Amen. We all have a source of strength when we're weak. I'll never forget, a few years ago, they introduced me to come to the pulpit in Guyana. And it was hot. I was tired. And I said, Lord, I need your strength. When I come to the pulpit and started singing, I have a source of strength when I'm weak. And he came. I know that he's... Amen. I know that he's alive tonight. You know, I don't ever remember being asked to sing a song and refuse. Hallelujah. Amen. There's been times that I felt like I was so hoarse I couldn't sing. And I'd say, I don't know if I can sing or not. I'm hoarse. But when I started, my voice cleared. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. I have a source of strength when I am weak. It helps me through when life is pressing me. I have a source of power from above. I'm covered over by a shield of love.
Help me sing it.
I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious bloodstains were made just for me. Hallelujah. Our own.
my sickness and my pain. When I meet you, I claim those precious blood stains. I do not know how others make it through, but never go to Calvary as I do. For there's a healing, cleansing stream that flows with a peace that only its redeemed can know. Sing it now. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. Oh, my sin, my story. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When I need healing, I claim those precious blood stains. Sing it once more. Oh, I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sin, my sickness and my pain. When I need healing, I claim those precious blood stains. When I need healing, I claim those precious blood stains.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for healing tonight. Healing in our soul, healing in our body, healing of our home. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 21. I want to speak to you tonight on a newborn world for a newborn church. But Louis, give me my handkerchief out of that coat pocket. A newborn world for a newborn church. Isaiah 65:21. Inside. Thank you. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people. And mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. Now listen to this little brief statement here in birth pains. There's about to be a new world born, and a new church born to go to it. For the millennium. Praise the Lord. I'm sure Brother Louis already mentioned Sister Helen Littleton passing away. I talked to Brother Gene today and certainly desired our prayers that God would just be with him. And we want to pray for him and the family. Felt so sorry for him today. Just couldn't hardly talk. We know that God is mindful of us in these times, isn't he? So we want to pray for them. And let's ask God's blessings over the word tonight as well. Heavenly Father, as we come before you tonight, we're so grateful, Lord Jesus, that we have you in this day. We thank you that you have come to us in such a real way, Lord. You've not just come in a form of history. You've not come in a form of just stories. But you've come in the form of a living person, a being that's in our very souls. Lord, I thank you for this gathering together of the people tonight. Lord, I pray that you would help us, that we can have our hearts open to be able to receive of your word, to look into the honeymoon that lays before the people of God. Lord Jesus, I pray tonight for Brother Gene Littleton, his children, Lord, their grandchildren, daughter-in-law, son-in-law, Lord, the different ones, and Lord, Sister Helen's sisters sitting here tonight and other family members. You say our sister had been sick for so long, Lord, and suffered for so long. Lord, we know tonight she's moved into that other world, into another body, Lord God. No more sickness, no more pain. How we thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray, dear God, for the family that you'd help them. We do not sorrow, Lord, for her, but just the emptiness and the loss in their hearts. I pray that you'd help them, dear God. Speak to us tonight from your word, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Let's read, if you would, in paragraph 60 of the Future Home. Also in the book of Isaiah, now you want to put these scriptures down in Isaiah 65:17. Isaiah speaking of the millennium, that 1,000 years of rest for the people of God. Isaiah spoke of it and said, there will be the former things that passed away, how they'll build houses and inhabit them. Now remember, the prophets of the Old Testament, they would speak and prophesy of the millennium, and then some of them in the very next verse or three verses below or the next chapter would then in turn speak about the eighth day. When you listen to Future Home and you also listen to Question and Answers in 1964, you have to be so careful, because Brother Branham will do exactly the same thing that the prophets of the Old Testament did, and he will jump from the seventh to the eighth, from the eighth back to the seventh, from the seventh to the eighth, and it's easy to go back and forth and back and forth. And the kingdoms are similar. There are things about the millennium and the eighth day kingdom that will be similar, and yet there are things about it that will be very, very different. So in the millennium itself, it will be old world order time, as he called it, and that will be the finishing up of the seventh day. In that millennium, of course, sin will still be carried over at the end for Gog and Magog. Satan will be raised up out of his prison, and multitudes, millions or thousands, whatever it will be gathered there in the four corners of the earth, and they will come together and fight the last battle of Gog and Magog. But yet at the end of that, then the earth will be totally renewed. But in the stage of the millennium, she is still in the sanctifying process of going to her new birth. And we know the earth has three stages of which the earth will come through a birth. Genesis 1 tells us that the earth was in the water and out of the water. Peter picks up the same thing. So it was the primeval condition, or the antediluvian world condition of the world. And Peter mentions the three stages of the same world. So it's as if the world, the earth, has three stages that it goes through. And we know it types, of course, the new birth for the people of God. Notice this again perfectly. Noah was a type of those that was carried over. Remember, when Noah came out, Ham was with him. Sin was still there. Sin went right on over through the ark. Unbelief, doubt went over in the ark, carried above the judgment. But Enoch went higher than the ark. He went on into the presence of God, but Noah went through and came out. There was sin, type of the millennium, of the world's condition. Now the people that will actually gather to go to Gog and Magog, they will be the people resident on the earth, at least some of them will be resident upon the earth, but at the end of the millennium will come a resurrection. So it will not just be the living that will gather there, but there will be the general resurrection, and there they will all merge together, the living and the dead, and they will merge together, and there Satan will go about to deceive, as it says in the scripture, Revelation 20, go about to deceive the nations and gather them together to do battle with the great city and the saints of God of Gog and Magog. Now, before this part actually comes into view, Satan is bound, remember, for 1,000 years, but mortal people will be living on the earth that are not born again. So they're living on the earth and they are made to comply, and it will not be a rebellious kingdom. It will not be a kingdom of sin or a kingdom when people's fussing and fighting and arguing and all that, but it will still be a kingdom that are of converted and unconverted, of glorified and of natural bodies, of nations and of the queen position and of the 144,000. Now, watch this. He says the millennium is not the end of it. There will be time after the millennium. The millennium is a space of time, but not the new earth. No, indeed. Notice in that, we'll get to it after a bit. This millennium reign, the 1,000 years, is not the new earth. The millennium, now notice, the millennium is not the new earth. So it's the seventh day, the Sabbath day that God was called out of. Then it begins again, resumes, and Adam and Eve go through the millennium and they live it out. And then God will allow Satan one more chance. It's amazing how he's so convinced at the end of this, he will try once again to go about and establish his kingdom. It's amazing how that when, you know, whenever people lived on this earth, many of them for 1,000 years, and they lived under the dominion of peace, the dominion of perfection, and at the end of that perfect dominion, they will still make up their mind to go with the devil. And the Bible said he went about to deceive them. So even though they lived under a natural reign, can't you see why people can fall away from the truth now if they don't have the Holy Ghost? Even though they can sit there and it makes sense and it's perfect. Look, friend, at the very best that we would be able to reflect this message, and the very best would be able to reflect the kingdom of God on the earth, it would be nothing compared to the millennium kingdom. So if people can actually backslide away from a millennium kingdom, they can definitely backslide away from his church. They can definitely backslide away from this message, and you realize if they would live under that kingdom and that domain, and they will actually be deceived and deceived to such a degree that they think they can come up against the saints of God and you in a glorified body. Jesus Christ in a glorified body and them in a natural body. They could see you appear, disappear, walk through a wall, do all these things, and they cannot do it, and yet Satan's deceptive power will still be there. Can't you see why we need the Holy Ghost? Can't you see why the natural kingdom of God is not enough? People must be baptized into the mystical body of Jesus Christ. If the kingdom of the Son of David being such a powerful domain that the animals and the earth will stand upright and all these things will be transformed, but yet in that great wonderful day that it'll be, still men's hearts can still be deceived after living under that dominion. Oh, praise the Lord for the Holy Ghost. Now notice this, it isn't the new earth, no, the new heaven, no, it's a rest place, a rest period, not at all the new heavens and the new earth. For you see, in the millennium, we have things that we would not go into. Now there'll be things in the millennium that will not be in the eighth day. Now remember, the millennium is still a reflection or the ending up of time. Now he said, not in the new heavens and the new earth. For in the millennium, we have things that would not go into that. It's a type of the old seventh day out of Eden. The seventh day after he made the world, the seventh day he rested in Eden. Now what's God going to do? He's going to complete it. Now as he was called out of his rest in the beginning, he'll enter back into the rest and finish up time. And when time is finished up, then it goes over into what Paul called the dispensation of the fullness of time. So time will have reached its fullness, and then it rolls right back into eternity again. And then all of those things which existed in time that were attributes of time will be annihilated and done away with. And then it'll roll back into the eternal. Oh my, what a day. Now notice this. See, the world has had almost 6,000 years old. Every 2,000 years, it's had a destruction. See, the first 2,000 years, the flood came. And then what happened? The second 2,000 years now, it was baptized the first 2,000 years. It was baptized with water. The next 2,000 years, Jesus came to sanctify it and claim it. Dropped his blood upon it. Called it his. I'll come again. As king and his queen. The second 2,000 years, what does he do? He comes and give it a rest period. First 2,000 years, was baptized. Second 2,000 years, the blood dropped on it. Third 2,000 years, you. The church. This is our time. Church ages, 2,000 years, he's allowed the church to labor against sin. What's going to be the millennium then? All the consummation of water baptism, blood dripping on it, and then the fullness of perfection of God being in a body. Then God will take that body, set a throne of David on the earth, and the earth itself will be sanctified, fixing to go into its complete new birth. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice this. Then he burns her off and claims it for his own. Puts his own back on it. Now notice, not the perfect world. This millennium, it's a type of the seventh day. Then comes the white throne. Now look, friend, can't you say why when people want to say, well, you know, the church ages is over, time is over, and we're already in. Well, that's so in your soul. But in time, we're still even in the latest in church age. And it will be even in the millennium, though you have already moved into the eternal, in the millennium will still be time. Well, if I'm going to be in time in the millennium, I'm certainly in time now. So don't go off the deep end and say, well, it's all done over. No, it's not all done over. We're still in time now. We'll still be in time in the millennium. But one day we will roll into that spot where there will be no time. In our soul, we've already moved into the eternal. That's right. And remember, the millennium is not spiritual. This is a natural 1,000 years. I realize many theologians, there's some even in the message that don't believe it. I don't care what they believe. This is what the Bible says and what the prophet taught. Good enough for me. What about you? Many commentators said, well, as you know, it's a spiritual something or other. No, it's 1,000 years of rest. Adam and Eve was not living in a spiritual something or another. It was a garden of Eden. It was a paradise. There was natural animals. There was natural botany life, natural animal life. And that was absolutely put on hold. And God will not be defeated. He will resume that seventh day and it will be lived out and completely fulfilled. If my God determines to do something, there ain't nobody going to stop him. Amen. Notice this millennium is the type of the seventh day. Then the judgment comes, the white throne judgment. See, we're still at judgment. We're still in time in the millennium. It's a day, 1,000 years. It's a time element. Now, don't get that mixed up with the new earth, because it's not. Now, notice the difference. So the millennium is a time element. This is the Feast of Tabernacles. Tabernacles, gathering places. Amen. Where? In the millennium. The Bible said, they shall build houses. They shall inhabit. So here we go from the Feast of Tabernacles and we move out of that over into the eternal. But remember, the Feast of Tabernacles is a place of worship. So in the millennium, it is about not just, building houses and drinking of the fruit of the vine and all that, but it is a great theme of worship. And in the millennium will be built and consecrated the most holy, Daniel called it. It will be anointed the most holy. The tribes will be in tribal order. They will resume their God-given position as they sit around the millennium temple. And the temple will be anointed and there the things will be offered in memorial. Nothing will be killed now in the millennium, but a memorial of that which was lived out on the earth. So what is it? It is a dispensation, the final dispensation, and it consummates with divine worship. Even a certain allotment of the city will be given to the prince, and he will come in a certain side of the gate. You'll read this in Ezekiel 44 through 48. And no one will be allowed to go through that except for the prince, which is David, which of course is Jesus Christ. And then in this allocation that God gives to him that place, what is it? It's his reward. It's his reward. He was Jehovah's servant to come and redeem you and redeem the earth. And here he must live this out as the son of David. Oh, what a wonderful time. Notice this now in Ezekiel chapter 37 verse 22. I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be king to them all. And they shall be no more two nations. Now remember, you're speaking of Israel being divided to Israel and to Judah. At one time there was one nation. And then they divided and God dealt with them separately down through the years of the prophets. God actually sent prophets to Israel and prophets to Judah. He dealt with them in different ways, actually give them different prophecies. And they'd come out, even their end would actually come out different. But here God says, I will bring them back together. It will not be Israel. It will not be Judah. But I will bring them back together and they will have one shepherd, they'll have one prince, and it will be David. David who though? Watch now. Neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms anymore at all. Neither shall they defile themselves anymore with their idols, nor with their detestable things. Now know this is the millennium. Nor any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places when they have sinned, past tense, and will cleanse them so they shall be my people and I will be their God. And David, my servant,
David, my servant, shall be king over them. Now remember, this is not King David, but this is, David means beloved. So this is Jesus David. David, my servant. Notice, David, my servant, shall be king over them. Who is this? It's the King Messiah, being of the seed of David. Of the fruit of thy body, what I set upon thy throne. Now remember, he comes under this before he presents to the Father God that great eternal kingdom. This is the Son of David dispensation. So he must retain the title of David. But then in the perfect kingdom, Jesus will turn all of it over to Spirit God, and Spirit God will hang over that body in the eighth day in the eternal kingdom, and there the light of Spirit God will hang down. Now, in the millennium, Spirit God is not here in this manifestation. Why? Because the earth is still in its sanctified state. He would break the tie. For him to be hanging over the city, because he cannot hang over you till you got the Holy Ghost, till the fire of God burns you out, neither can he hang over the earth in the fullness of this attribute, so it must be under a dispensational claim as Son of David. As Son of David, as Son of Man, he can walk on the earth and rub shoulders with sinners, right? As Son of God, he can live in our bodies, and even though our bodies are still, you know, acceptable to sin and diseases, and we can make mistakes, right? As Son of God, he can live inside of us. As Son of David, he can live on the earth and reign on the earth over people who are not yet glorified, people that are not yet redeemed. But Spirit God cannot move down unto that dispensation of the eternal until the earth has been baptized with the Holy Ghost. And of glory, once the earth is baptized in the baptism of holy fire. Now remember, the millennium is cleansed with atomic fire, but not holy fire. Remember, we're still under seven, so we're still coming out of six, going into seven. So what is it? God allows six, which is man's number. So man's inventions, man's great scientific laboratory, God will allow six to purge the earth for seven. So atomic fire, which is invented by man, of course, will come over and it'll blow up, and you know, all kinds of things will be changed on the face of the earth, maybe thousands of miles deep or however deep it will be, but it will come from the sixth into the seventh. In the seventh, it's under sanctification. He can rule as the Son of David, but then he will lift his bride up off of the earth, then the earth gets the Holy Ghost. And boy, I'm telling you what, she'll have a spell too. She'll be shouting and jerking around and carrying on. My, Brother Ben said, they think it's awful when a man gets the Holy Ghost. He said, wait till this earth gets the Holy Ghost. It's holy fire baptism. Oh, praise the Lord. Atomic fire will do for the dispensation of the Son of David. But the atomic fire will not do for the eternal one to come down. Glory to God. The eternal fire of God, the eternal being of God, cannot come down on this earth in that millennium kingdom because it's not yet received its full new birth. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, don't you love it? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Think of it, friend. Was it not for the dispensation of the Son of God, the Holy Ghost, could the holy, righteous God dare live in our unredeemed bodies tonight? Was it not for the dispensation of the Son of God? How could that eternal one, Brother Darrell, which never knew sin, never knew anything like that, how could he ever come personally and take on my body and live in my body? He could not do it. He had to do it in the form of sonship. Glory! So what did he do? He gave birth to a son. Glory! He gave birth to a son and called it a Son of God, which was an attribute that came out of his creation. And from that lower part of his creation, he could live inside of human bodies that are not yet fully redeemed. He can live in them, walk in them, talk in them. He can absolutely speak his word to them through that dispensation of the Son of God, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So notice this dispensation. David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd. Glory. So this is a king shepherd. Now remember, Jesus fulfilled all three of these offices. King, shepherd, prophet, priest. Many of these titles he fulfilled. No king of the Old Testament of the Jewish race was ever allowed to be prophet, priest, and king. That was reserved for one. The Lord Jesus, right? That's reserved for Him and Him alone. Now, He has served His place as well, and He will certainly serve it well. Here we know, and He will come up. He will actually be the shepherd over all the millennium kingdom. Oh, thank you, Lord. Notice, they all shall have one shepherd. They also shall walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Now notice what they're going to do. They're going to live by this law of God. They shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children, and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Not for eternal now, but forever. Ever is a space of time. So He will be the prince for 1,000 years. Forever. Remember Jonah saying he was down in the belly of the fish forever and ever? Two spaces of time, ever and ever, anion and anion, space of time and space of time. Folks that'll go to the lake of fire and they'll burn forever and ever, but eventually they'll be annihilated. People call us cruel. And then they preach eternal hell. They call us cruel because we believe in predestination. And we preach that there is no such a thing as an eternal hell, that one day they'll be annihilated. To me, I see God's grace in that. I see God's mercy in that, Brother Jerry. They will not. There ain't no way a 16-year-old boy is going to go out tonight and get drunk and get killed in a car wreck. And a just God is going to put him in an eternal flame and make him burn for eternity for 16 years of sin. That's not my God. But one day they will be annihilated, and the very thoughts of them, and the devil right along with them. Glory. Now notice, He will be the prince, David will, which of course is Jesus. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen, the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel. When my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Now notice, the heathen will live outside, and they will live all spread about all over the face of the earth. But in the city will be the millennium temple. There will be the Levites. There will be the Israel. Tribal order. And there will be the bride with the bridegroom. And the heathen on the outside, they will finally be convinced that Israel is God's chosen people. Not bride, but chosen people. This will consummate their ending up of their error in their history. That they served God. They got away from God. They served God. They got away from God. And God allowed the Gentile nations to push them all over the world. But God said, I will prove it in the millennium that they are mine. Oh, praise the Lord. When they come from Gog and Magog and Tubal and here and there and there, they'll have to come through those border guards, and they'll have to come right up through the tribes of Israel, and they will have a testimony. These are the chosen people of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now watch this in Daniel 9:24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. 70 weeks, which are prophetic weeks. Weeks of years. So God now speaking to Daniel and said there's an order, a sequence of events that will happen before all these things are consummated. I will bring righteousness and truth. I will judge sin. I'll put an end to sin. I'll do all these things. And then the termination of this prophecy is to anoint the most holy. Now people, I realize many times people think, well, that was Jesus. Oh no, that was not Jesus. I thought y'all knew this. Sixfold purpose of Daniel. Notice this. Here at the end time, he's to anoint the most holy. What is the most holy? My way of seeing it, which I believe I can prove it by the scripture, is to anoint the most holy, which will be the tabernacle that will be used during the millennium. Now notice then, there will be a natural tabernacle on the earth. And it will be anointed, consecrated. As God came into Solomon's temple in the presence of God, was able to move in such a way that the priests could not minister. And we know that as God came into Christ, and as God has come into you, but yet God must consummate the end of this type of worship. Because this will terminate this type of worship with mortal beings being on the earth. So there will still be mortals that will come up and worship in memorial of what God has done down through the ages. But for us as the bride, we will have already moved into the eternal bodies. Amen. Can you imagine living on the earth and an eternal body? Oh, thank God. But yet, we will be there as well. We will be there, we will worship, we will adore, but we are not onlookers now. We are not like people that's coming out from the outside to worship. We are actually part of what is being adored. Woo! Lord! We are going to be part of what the scheme of all things is about. Oh, Lord, have mercy! Hallelujah! Can't you see what Israel and the priests are? They are a priesthood coming to whom? To David and to his wife. Watch this. He says, what's the description of the temple that is to be built in the millennium? Now anyone, any reader that knows from Ezekiel, the 40th chapter, until about the 44th chapter, is nothing in the world but the millennium temple being erected on earth. But now remember, when John saw the new city descending from God out of heaven, John said, I saw no temple in it. There ain't no temple in the new city. Because we move up to a higher frame, a place of worship. Can't you see, for the bride now, she's moved into a different realm of worship under the seventh seal. So it's not just live music and not screaming and hollering. We like all of that. But yet it's a different type of worship. It's a worship, an adoration into a bride's perspective of her husband instead of a servant toward his rough master. You see, for many people, they're still serving God with this intellect that God is this mean tyrant and they're a servant slave type of thing that he's going to beat them and whip them. But the opening of the Word of God should bring to us that we are not in this type of relationship with our Lord. It is a marriage and he adores us and we adore him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. We talk about how great he is to us and he turns right back around and says, oh, but that's only half the story. You don't know how great you are to me. And we worship and he worships and we adore and he adores and we praise and he praises. Oh, hallelujah. It's those that ain't just sitting at the kitchen table. Remember, we looked at it this past weekend. That's what's along with all the message, folks. When the word's done, they're ready to go to the house. I always think that's kind of rude. People come to my house and want to eat and run. Hey, hang around. We might eat some dessert or I might have you to help me wash dishes. Well, we're going to eat, but we got to go. That's the way folks are about church. As soon as the church, man, as soon as I say amen, 47 people go to the bathroom. They're ready to hit the door. Hey, wait a minute. We're getting up from the table going into the living room. Glory. I don't want to be rude to my host. He don't want me to get him. So well, I've got to eat wrong, Lord. I'll see you. He said, sit down here, son. Let's go in here and sit down in the love seat. Let's go in here and fellowship a little bit. Let's worship a little bit. Put your arms around me and I'll put my arms back around you. Notice this, he says we're going to describe the temple in the 43rd chapter, the first to the sixth verse. Now watch, Brother Branham is going to read this. And he brought me to the gate, even to the gate that looked toward the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. And the voice was like the voice. Uh-oh. Of course, folks that don't believe in preachers won't be there because they wouldn't feel at home. Voice of many waters and the earth shine with the glory. Now notice, this is the millennium temple. It was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the visions that I saw when I came to destroy the city. And the vision was like in the vision I saw by the river Chebar. Now remember, the vision of the river Chebar was when he saw this amber-colored light. This amber color and this glory of the Lord enfolding itself. Now this is what will be there in the millennium. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I fell upon my face in the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate, whose prospect is towards the east. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. And I heard him speak unto me out of the house, and the man stood by me. Now here, this is the setting of the millennium temple. Notice Brother Ben goes on and says, anointing that temple for the millennium reign. So what is God doing? God is now coming at the opening of the millennium. Oh Lord, children. Can you imagine when them bombs go to exploding? I don't know if Russia will set one off first and then Iran and Iraq and whoever more. I don't know how it's all going to work. I ain't going to be here. I ain't going to worry about it no how. It's up to God to order it all and orchestrate it all. But you imagine when we step out upon this earth on the ashes of the wicked, and the earth will be standing upright again, and the animals will be recreated without that fallen nature. And the earth, oh, should be so covered with vegetation again as it was in the beginning, and the temperature being the same all the way around. There'll be no Antarctic and all that sort of thing. No Arctic winters. The winter will be past. Oh, because the millennium, glory to God, the winter is the curse on the earth. The prophet tells us 1963. So in the millennium, there'll be no snow. There'll be no tornadoes. There'll be no hurricanes, no typhoons. All of that will be gone. Oh, happy day, happy day. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then in that, whenever we come in, the temple will start to be built. Now, will it be built by sons and daughters of God? I have no idea. Will it be spoken word created? I have no idea. But yet in that, there will come a dedication of this temple. Now, because this is a dispensation of worship, then it must be dedicated and built afresh, right on the merging in of the millennium. That when the millennium starts, this temple will be built, and then there will be a consecration. How does God consecrate it? Not with a bunch of preachers, not with a denomination, but by the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God comes in, that comes in, but the east gate moves and unfolds itself. And there, this will be the christening or the anointing of the Most Holy. Amen. Lord Jesus. Anointing the temple for the millennium reign. Note it in Leviticus. And watch how this is dedicated in Leviticus. We'll go back to Leviticus and find out. Moses anointed the temple. Let's go back while we're at it. He said, let's go back to Leviticus and find out what Moses anointed the temple. Leviticus, the 8th chapter. I love to compare scriptures to scriptures. What about you, message folks? You still love to do that? Do you love it? He says. Then you just get an idea of what we're looking at for what we're going to do. Now, any of you realize this, we're going to use the scripture now and then. Now, the 8th chapter of Leviticus, I've got it marked here in the 10th verse. Notice Leviticus 8 and 10. Moses took the anointing oil and poured the anointing oil, anointed the tabernacle and all that was therein, and sanctified them, and sprinkled thereof upon the altar 7 times. Anointed the altar and all the vessels, the laver and his foot, to sanctify them. Now notice your brother Bam is using this for a background of the Most Holy, which will be the millennium temple. You say, what's that got to do with me? You're going to be there. This is part of your honeymoon trip. And you ain't going to the Pope of Rome. You're not going to the Vatican. You're going to the holy place. Amen. Praise the Lord. Moses in the wilderness sanctifying or anointing the tabernacle of worship for the children of Israel when they were in their journey. It was anointed. We notice the New Jerusalem is the most holy place. And the anointing oil will be upon the New Jerusalem that descends from God out of heaven. Now watch. When Zerubbabel then rebuilds the temple, and it is also rededicated. Paragraph 126. When Zerubbabel dedicated his temple after it was rebuilt, it was not anointed again because it was already been anointed and been torn down. It was just instructed again. The destruction come to it. It had been instructed again and put up. There was no anointing on it anymore. When it was anointed one time, notice that, it carried on through. And it goes on till this very time. But when God sets up the millennium tabernacle, he will anoint the most holy, not thy holy, but the most holy. Why will it need to be anointed?
Do you understand? There has never been a millennium temple on this earth. It's not a carryover of Solomon's temple, or it wouldn't need to be re-anointed. It's not a carryover of the destruction of Zerubbabel, or a carryover of Herod's temple, or it would not, do you understand? There was no temple in Eden. They met in the trees, in the forest. That was where they went to church. But this was before the sacrifice. But now the millennium, this millennium is after the sacrifice. And all that will be done and reflected in that temple will do what? Point back to the perfection of Jesus Christ. So everything there's never been a millennium temple. So it must be anointed afresh. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. When the king takes his throne for 1,000 years, glory, he said, she's over now. The anointing of the Most Holy will be the last thing to take place. Oh, Jesus. The holy place is a sanctuary where God lived between the cherubims. This time Christ will sit in the Most Holy place with the anointing upon him. Now notice, where's Father God? It's Christ in the temple. It's Christ in the temple. Remember the sanctification. Feast of Tabernacles. The eternal cannot indwell on this earth till she gets the Holy Ghost. Now what was it? His people had just, I love this. His people had just crowned him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Don't you see why he cannot sit on a throne tonight? For those of you who think that Jesus is off the mercy seat and sitting on the throne, if he is, he's sitting there without a crown. That would be a reproach. It would be a dishonor to our Lord Jesus, Brother Darrell, to sit on Father God's throne without a crown. He cannot have a crown until after the marriage supper. Glory to God. Don't you see the perfect order of God? Who is it that are crowning? It's not the cherubims. It's not the seraphims. His people. His conquering people, Brother Dale. His conquering. Glory to God. Can you imagine when we sat there at that table, us veterans that have lived down through time, and he comes and wipes the tears out of our eyes, and then he removes all the sorrow and sadness from our heart, and then what do we in turn do? We, the bride, the overcomers, millions of us gather around him and crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Don't you see? The rapture just crowns you with a new body. And you're going to crown him so he can take his position on the earth. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father. Oh, praise the Lord. He can't do it now. He can't go sit on the throne of God now. Why? He don't have a crown. What king would want to sit on a throne without a crown? And in his view and his perspective, who would be better to give me my crown than my wife? Glory. Glory. Oh, my. His people had just crowned him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Coming back to his holy temple, anointed with the presence of God, to live and to reign through the millennium with his church. Now you imagine when he comes, he will be have this crown on him. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh my. He is now fit for the throne of David. He has a crown and a many-membered wife. You see, Jesus could not take the throne when he was here in his earthly body. He wasn't married. I said he wasn't married. And he did not have a crown. They put a crown of thorns in mockery. But he did not have a crown. Why? The purchase price. What had been to make that crown had not been yet redeemed. You. He's had a delegation in his mind that must crown him. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, in studying the kings of England and of Europe and on down through there, you know who crowned most of them? The church. the Catholic Church. And they go through this big rigmarole of doing this and that and the other. My. And the Holy Father stands up there and does all this sort of thing. But Jesus said, I don't want no Holy Father giving me my crown. Amen. I don't want the Holy See giving me my crown. I want the Holy Seed giving me mine. Praise the Lord. It won't be the Church of England or the Church of Rome. It'll be the Church of the elect. The elect body of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Lord, children, can you imagine millions of us as we sit at that table and all of a sudden him at the head and whoever's in charge, whether it's Paul or Brother Branham or whoever's been chosen, and we all gather just around as close as we can and they begin to raise that crown up and said, our Lord Jesus, we give you your crown. You have waited for all these years. We are your victory. You can now take this crown. We are the proof that Calvary was a success. Hallelujah! You saved us. You redeemed us. Now you've raised us up from the dead. And you give us glorified bodies. Here is your crown. Now watch how Satan will forerun this in the tribulation period. He that sitteth in the temple of God, being worshipped like God, forerunning the millennium set up, when Jesus will come crowned King of Kings, and the Most Holy will be anointed, and here will be the King, Priest, Prophet. Glory to God. Here will set the King, Priest, Prophet upon the throne under the dispensation of Son of David. And there will be millions of members of his wife standing around him. Oh, don't you want to go, children? Lord Jesus. His people are just crowning him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Coming back to his holy temple, anointing with the presence of God to live and to reign through the millennium with his church. Amen. They're appearing with a mighty king to take her place at his side. The new royal anointed temple. Now notice the focus of the millennium is the anointed temple. But when John looks in Revelation 21, the focus is not a temple, but a city. Come, see the bride, the Lamb's wife. Isn't that strange? Go to see a woman and you see a city. Glory. But this, now I'm not saying that there won't be a city, there will be. But the focus will be the temple and Christ in the temple. Now, watch this. He says, he's come back to his holy temple anointed there in the millennium through the church. Then the bride will take her place. Now, in this 144,000, we know that there's two tribes that's actually missing in the tribulation period because of idolatry. But in the millennium, Ezekiel actually sees those two tribes restored. They will be on the outside and they will be surrounding the temple. Now watch this, he says in the sixth seal. In the time of the millennium, it's Israel that's a nation. The 12 tribes is a nation, but the bride is in the palace. So the palace is a temple. It's not a castle. It's a palace temple. What are you doing in a temple? Worship. But what are you doing in a palace? You live. So what are they doing? Living in a place of worship. Oh, glory to God. Oh, y'all ought to have been smacking your lips. That was fresh from the bakery of heaven right there. Ooh, my. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you're living where? In the temple itself. This is the very place where he will come and be adored. And you, your royal highness. You, your royal highness, will also share his majesty and his glory as his wife. Lord Jesus. Notice the 12 tribes is a nation, but the bride is in the palace. She's a queen now. She's married. And all of the earth shall come into this city, Jerusalem.
and shall bring their glory there. Now remember, the people that live on the side of the earth, now this will be a parallel, of course, to the eighth day, that they will live on the outside. Because remember, it was the rest of the tribes that brought their tents unto Levi. Because Levi was called out, handpicked by God, to minister to God. So they lived, actually, they lived in the presence of God. Levi did. So the rest of the tribes brought in of their sustenance by which Levi could be able to serve God only. This was you. They were acting out you. They were foreshadowing you that one day you would be called into the presence of God. You won't be out there harrowing the fields and tilling the fields. You're, oh glory, you're going to be ministering to the King. Oh, you're his bride. You're his sweetheart. You are part of that priesthood of Melchizedek. You are ministering to the King. So they will bring their tithes into the city. I ain't got time to plant maters and taters and roll cucumbers and all that sort of thing. I got to make love to the King. I ain't got time to do all that sort of thing. I got to worship the King. Oh, hallelujah. Think of it, children. You are called to live in this holy temple of God. Notice in the seventh seal, Ezekiel in his vision. In the millennium, he sees them again in perfect order. Ezekiel, if you want to read it, just put it down and you can read it to save time. Ezekiel 48, 1 to 7. And then read 23 to 29. Now let's just read this if you don't mind. Let's begin in verse 2. Ezekiel 48, 2. And by the border of Dan, from the east side unto the west side, a portion for Asher. Now notice how that they're going to be placed in a similarity to the way they were at the tabernacle in the wilderness. The tabernacle was set, and then the tribes were set all around it. And they're there to protect, to guard. In the millennium, they resume a similar position. By the border of Asher, from the east side even to the west side, a portion of Naphtali. By the border of Naphtali, from the east side unto the west side, a portion from Manasseh. By the border of Manasseh, from the east side to the west side. Notice how it's measuring now. From the east to the west. As the sun shines from the east to the west, so also is coming me. Notice, from the east to the west, the cycle, not north to south. Satan warned the north. But this is east to west. By the border of Ephraim, from the east side even to the west side, a portion for Reuben. By the border of Reuben, from the east side even to the west, a portion for Judah. Verse 21. And the residue shall be for the prince. On the one side and on the other side of the holy oblation and of the possession of the city over against the fire. Now remember, Brother Bram said, this applies to the millennial. I don't understand it all. What's that got to do with believing it? I don't understand it either, but I believe it. Understanding may come later if I need it. I don't wait for understanding. They say, well, now I understand. Now I believe. You're backwards. Abraham didn't understand how he's going to be a father. He believed he was going to be a father. Then God made him understand it later. Now notice the possession of the city over against 5,000 and 20,000 of oblation toward the east border westward over against the 5,000 and 20,000 toward the west border over against the portions for the prince. Now notice Jesus gets a certain allotment. This is his portion on the earth. Can you imagine the great eternal God wanted to become so man that he actually wanted a possession on the earth? He wanted a body like yours, a human body, that he could take that body and glorify and transpose it, move it from elements of time. How did he do it? I have no idea. But that body which it ate, whatever Mediterranean diet would have been at that time, and yet went down in the grave, he died and went down into the grave, and the resurrection power come back upon that body. And you telling me, Brother Donnie, he changed that body into eternal? Absolutely. Well, you say, how in the world did that happen? I don't know, but I'm fixing to find out on a first-hand experience. Glory to God. He raised that same body up, and that's what's on the throne of God for us tonight. I guarantee if he can do that to him, he can do it to me. Notice verse 22, moreover, from the possession of the Levites and from the possession of the city, being in the midst of that, which is the princes. Notice where his part joins right to the preachers. Oh. Oh, Lord, Brother Donnie, you mean preachers are going to be that from ear to ear, you'll see me. We won't be preaching, brothers, but we're going to be there. Oh, go ahead. I said we're going to be there. Thank you, Jesus. Notice, being in the midst of that which is the princes between the border of Judah and the border of Benjamin shall be for the prince. As for the rest of the tribes, from the east side to the west side, Benjamin shall have a portion. By the border of Benjamin, from the east side to the west side, Simeon shall have a portion. By the border of Simeon, from the east side to the west side, Issachar shall have a portion. By the border of Issachar, from the east side to the west side, Zebulun a portion. By the border of Zebulun, from the east side to the west side, Gad a portion. By the border of Gad, at the south side, southward. No, my. The border shall be even from... What's she doing there? Glory. Under the waters of strife in Kadesh to the river toward the great sea. This is the land which she divided by lot unto the tribes of Israel for an inheritance. Do you understand? For the first time in their history, they will finally have moved onto the declared boundary in the book of Deuteronomy. And it's under the reign of David. They never actually got their property that God wanted them to have. They're supposed to go plumb to the great river, plumb over to the great river, which is over in Iraq. They're supposed to have got every bit of that. They never got it. Never got it under David, never got it under Solomon, never got it under any king. But if my God says something, it will come to pass. Now you look at where the temple will be set and look at their boundaries and measure and see how far it's going to be. And they're going to go plumb out to there. Then from there out will be the nations that will live on the outside. Finally, they will get their portion. No wonder so much is going to be given to the prince. He's the one who brought it all to pass. Oh my. Thank you, Jesus. Notice verse 34. At the west side, 4,500. With their three gates. One gate of Gad. One gate of Asher. One gate of Naphtali. It was round about 18,000 measures. The name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. Which is Jehovah Shammah. You see, Jesus could not fulfill this when he was here. He could not fulfill this, completely fulfill this in the dispensation of the church ages. This compound redemptive name is saved for the millennium. Jehovah Shammah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's read Daniel chapter 7, if you would. Daniel chapter 7, verse 18. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Now notice, it's not going to be given to them. They're going to take it. Do you want to actually move into this without fighting a battle? Do you want to move into the kingdom of God on a flowery bed of ease? That's not your prophecy, friends. Revelation 2:26. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over, not the bride. Bride will not be reigning over bride. Hold on to your seat. God don't want bride reigning over bride now. Preachers and pastors is trying to be dictators over the bride. You're in the wrong dispensation, pal. And you're trying to reign over the wrong folks. God don't want Donnie Reagan to be a dictator. He wants me to be a shepherd. Come on. God don't want Brother Tim Pruitt and all the rest of these pastor brothers to be dictators. He wants us to be shepherds. Lead God. Sure, you have to correct. Every now and then you got to break a lamb's leg. But that's a total different thing than being a dictator. Exactly right. I will give him power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. This is the exact same thing that said to Jesus himself. Now Jesus is turning and saying to my sons who are overcomers, I give them the same dispatch of grace. As I will rule with a rod of iron, so will they rule under me with a rod of iron. And they shall rule them with a rod of iron. As vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers. Even as I have received of my Father. Revelation 5:9. And they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and redeemed us to God by thy blood. Out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And has made us unto our God kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. So the earth now will be dual populated. By mortals and immortals. Glory. Glory. Revelation chapter 20 verse 1. Let me close. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit. And a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon. If I take off, somebody finish this. Laid hold on the dragon. That old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years shall be fulfilled. And after he shall be loosed for a little season. Now notice the breaking of the millennium where it breaks. And I saw thrones. So the millennium begins with a vision of thrones. And they that sat on them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had worshipped not the beast neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned. Who? They that was on these thrones. They lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years, but the rest of the dead lived not again till 1,000 years are finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. May we get up from the table. Hallelujah. A newborn world for a newborn church. I heard him say it today. So I've been going to the future home again, 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 again. And he said, the beast won't come out and snarl at you. And the wolf won't growl. And then at the end of the service, as he begins to get so broke up, and he begins to pray. And he says, oh God, this great city, the mother of my heart. The mother of my heart. He said, the bear will be gentle and the wolf will be tame. And then he gets all broke up and starts crying. He says, and I'll be changed from this creature that I am. Isn't that what we long for, friends? Let's bow our heads together if you would. Oh, Heavenly Father. Lord, how we long for that day. It makes us so homesick, Lord Jesus. It'd be so nice if we could just close in prayer tonight and all of a sudden we'd just be changed. Just to move away. But yet, Lord, we think there might be another one out there that, or 10 or 15 or 1,000 or who knows how many, whose name is on that book
And you cannot call your bride away till that last one has been finished. I'm glad you did it that way, in case that last one would be me. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd help us that we can do our part. We love you so much, Father. We want to be overcomers. We know in every church age the reward was promised, not to the acceptor, not to the one who was around the church or around the message. The reward was not even promised to them who said he believed, but the reward was promised to the overcomer. There will be many Christians who believe that they will not be rewarded because they are not overcomers. So we not only want to believe, but we want to be overcomers. Because they are the only ones that gets the reward. As I heard your prophet say today, Lord, in the future home, that this city was promised to the overcomer. And he said, I can promise you, I guarantee you, there will not be one bobbed-haired woman in that city. I guarantee it. He said, it's not promised to the denominations. It's not promised to the outsiders. Only those who overcome. Help us at Happy Valley, Lord, to know it's not enough to come here to church. Say, well, Brother Branham is my prophet. Brother Donnie's my pastor. The reward wasn't promised to those who called Brother Donnie their pastor or called Brother Branham their prophet. The reward was promised to the overcomer. So help us, Lord. We want to overcome sin, evil, all that. But the greatest thing we'll ever overcome is ourself. Help us, Lord. I want to overcome just smoking, drinking, adultery, lying. My greatest enemy is me. Help me, Lord, that I can overcome Donnie. Grant it, Lord God. We love you so much, Father. We appreciate you. Lord Jesus, I worship you, Lord. I adore you tonight, my King. Lord, I'm sure my position with you and in heaven would never be one valuable enough, important enough to set that crown on your head. But I'll be part of the delegation. I may be way on back, away from where they're doing it, but I'll be a part of it. When they set that crown upon your head, I'll scream and holler and I'll worship and I'll adore you. Hallelujah. Because I'll know in life I did my little part to help achieve that crowning moment. Help us, Lord. Help every believer. No matter how great our work is or how small our work is, when that crown is set upon your head, it will be the culmination of millions of people's prayers, millions of people fasting, preachers praying, reading their Bibles, ministers going and preaching to 15 here and 10 over there and 7 over here and whatever more, feeling like, Lord, what have I done? My labor's been so small. Oh, but God, when we set that crown on your head that day, all of that went to that crowning moment to crown you King of Kings and Lord of Lords. May we labor with all we have, Lord. Oh, grant it, Lord Jesus. May we take these little 2 sticks that we've got in our hand and this little meal, little bit of oil that we've got left. May we bring it to you, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord God. We love you, Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We worship you. Now, before we get up from the table and just go home, let's just love him just a little bit, can we? I try to be mindful of you on Wednesday night. I know your kids have got school and you got to work and all that, but let's just not eat and run. Let's just love him for just a little before we go. Lord Jesus, we worship you, Lord God. Would you just pull him up real close to you and reach over and put your arm around him? Just kind of snuggle up to him and look in his eyes and him look in your eyes. And Brother Bam said that man that's fixing to marry a wife, he pulls her up and whispers secret things to her. Not these flirters, he said, but his bride. Let Jesus whisper these secret things to you. These remas. Remember when Brother Bram preached at the Invisible Union, he talked about that man with the violin. It was at an auction. He was going to sell this old violin.
Who give me a dollar? Who give me two, three, four, whatever? So there's a man in the crowd thought it was worth more than that. So he went up there and took the bow and rosined the bow and took the old violin in his hand. And he started playing a beautiful hymn on it. Wasn't a dry eye left when he got done. Then the bids changed. 5,000, 10,000, 20,000. Prophet said, what was it? The touch of the master. So the touch of the master was able to bring that out. Oh my. Oh my. Your life. You say, I ain't nothing. I ain't. Well, that's true. What is a violin? Little old short piece of wood and all hollowed out, four strings on it. How can them people who are masters take them four strings and get such music out of it? Four strings. How can they do it? A master. Our lives worthless, basically. We get. Let Jesus rosin up that bow. Let him pull you up into his arms tonight. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Let him strike them strings of your heart and bring that beautiful music out of your life. Is that what you want, children? Is that what you want, Jesus, the great master, to just take your life? Oh, glory. We love you, Lord God. Lord, I ain't got much to offer. But Lord, I want to give you what a God. I want to give you what a God. I may not have four strings. I may be less than that. But Lord God, I want to give it to you. Take your rosin, put it on your bow, and take it under your chin, Lord, into your hand. And it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. Sing something for us, Harry. Let's worship him just a little before we go.
I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you Oh,
that need to go, you can feel free to go. Those of you that want to stay, just stay and worship. Hallelujah. I'll see you, Lord willing, this weekend. We exalt Thee. We exalt Thee. We exalt Him, brothers. Give Him your fingers. Give Him your ability. Worship Him over there. Worship Him, saints. Hallelujah. Worship Him, Happy Valley. Give Him your voice. Give Him your hand.
Hallelujah. Amen. See, when King Jesus comes to live with us again, do that. When King Jesus comes to live with us again, He will show His righteous love to every man. Wars and strife will all be past. There'll be peace on earth at last. When King Jesus comes to live with us again, yes, when King Jesus comes to live with us again, as you go, till when King Jesus comes to live with us again, He will show His righteous love to every man. Wars and strife will all be past. There'll be peace on earth at last.
Millennium Day.